Blog Talk Radio.
Catch a fire, fired up, corrupt, stirring it up, it's burning hot, drifting, hitting every side. With a drop kick, it's toxic, trouble like you're building a mosh pit. I lost it, and that's the only way that we rock shit. Banging hands and resist.
What's up, people? Welcome to the show. Hope everybody had a good weekend. We have a jam-packed week of news and information and entertainment, hopefully, for you guys. I'm all over the map today, so I'm going to kick it off with Hillary Clinton's weak-ass defenders. I mean, I really hate it. The way people... Like, yeah, okay, I get it, Trump is worse, I get it, but don't, like, straw man everybody who dislikes Hillary Clinton. That's kind of what happens here, that's the first story. Then, of course, we'll move to, Donald Trump responds to Dwayne Wade's cousin being killed in the worst way imaginable. Oh, he's so stupid. It's like he's just fucking incapable of knowing what is and isn't appropriate on the most basic level. Then I got some stuff on the war in Syria, which has escalated in another weird way. Recently we spoke about how China's getting involved to give logistical help to the Syrian government and that side of the war. Well, now we have Turkey getting more and more involved. And then the big scandal from over the weekend, 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick decided to protest, and many people in the country started to shit themselves. All right, we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about other stuff, including, oh no, here we go again, Anthony Weiner's wiener. Oh, it's in the show. Stop it. Anthony, I don't want to talk about your dick. Anthony, why are you making me talk about your penis? Well, that's what's going to have to happen. I do the news, man. That's in the news. I don't want to do it, but I got to do it. All right, let's get started here, and we'll do that with Hillary Clinton and her defenders. So there's an article on Quora and Newsweek titled, "Why Do People Hate Hillary Clinton?" And, of course, it's hilarious. So you would think that in writing this article, what they'll do is provide a fairly objective perspective and say, we should be clear up front that there's multiple camps of people who dislike Hillary. On the one hand, you have strident right-wingers who've hated her from the second she came onto the public scene, and they have a lot of irrational hatred directed towards her. They never gave her a chance, and they simply dislike her because she's a left-winger. That would be a fair thing to say that if you also said, oh, and there's also people to Hillary's left who dislike her, people who are, for example, supporters of Bernie Sanders, who understand that she is the ultimate political insider and that that can cause some problems when it comes to looking out for your constituents, that the incentive structure is wrong and she's going to serve the donors and stuff. So do they try for even a split second to be really fair and objective and nuanced in their analysis? Not even close. So let's go through some of the reasons here. This is what they say. Number one, quote, "We know enough about her to know that she isn't magical. That's why people don't like Hillary Clinton? Because she can't do magic? That's the argument that you're going to make? That's the number one reason, according to these jackasses, why people don't like Hillary Clinton? I mean, come on. She doesn't know how to do voodoo. She doesn't know how to go alakazam, alakazoo, bloody blue, 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 and fix the deficit or, you know, fix health care in America. She doesn't have a magic wand, so therefore, I don't like her. Obviously, I need somebody to be a magician. You know, that would seem to be disproven simply by the fact that we know quite a bit about President Obama, and his approval rating is tremendous. His approval rating is over 50%, and he's been in office for two full terms. So this idea of when you get to know her and she's not a magician and she's been on the public stage, what are you going to do? People just don't like her. Well, people know Obama, and a majority of people like him. historically compared to other presidents at this time, he's way more popular. So just using the Obama example alone, your entire argument is destroyed. But they continue. They say, society has created the unrealistic idea that a president should be a magical leader who never makes mistakes. In practice, no such magical leaders exist, but the expectation that presidents should be magical means that we turn against potential leaders when we discover that they, like all people before them, aren't magical. Oh, what a deep analysis you gave us here. I can't believe somebody wrote this with a straight face. Because you know what? That doesn't even apply to the idiot right-wingers who hate Hillary Clinton. It doesn't. It's not like they sat around and were like, you know, I really wish that Hillary Clinton was magical, in which case I wouldn't mind her so much. But she ain't magical, and, you know, that's the problem right there. You know that's not what they're saying. What kind of an argument is that? All right, let's go to the second one. Her cautious approach to the media allows opponents to define her by caricature. While Hillary's cautious approach may have avoided gaffes, it has also made it hard for her to define herself and allowed her opponents to define her by caricature. Okay, so here's another possible interpretation. She's avoiding being in the media because she knows there actually is quite a bit of dirt on her, and she has made some horrific decisions, and she has contradicted herself and flip-flopped a trillion times, and she has been beholden to donors. Therefore, if you let Trump go out there and self-destruct because he's in front of the media every 14 seconds, well, then it's going to work out for you now, isn't it? So now that might be a smart move on strategic grounds. In fact, I agree it is a smart move on strategic grounds. The proof is in the pudding as it is right now, how she's up a lot because he's been talking endlessly and she's like, I'm going to shut the fuck up and go in the corner here. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, your breakdown of the situation is incorrect. It's not like it's just the fact that she's not in the media's eye that allow people to dislike her. Because when she gets in the media's eye, people don't like her either. And you also said in thing number one is, well, you know, we've know too much about her. And people know she's not magical because we know too much about her. So you say, well, that's a bad thing. But then you also say, well, the problem is we don't see her enough because she hides from the media. Wait, one and two contradict each other. They fucking contradict each other. Which is it? Which is it? We don't see her enough because she hides from the media. That's the problem. Or is it, oh, we know too much about her because she's covered too much by the media. So what are you going to do? Again, that doesn't add up. And these are the first two reasons. And then you ready for the third one? Now, obviously, with the first two being weak-ass reasons why, by the way, no data, no nothing, just speculating. Here's why I think people don't like Hillary Clinton. Obviously, Hillary fans saying, you know, let me try to paint the worst possible picture of Hillary's defectors. The third thing is, quote, she is a woman. Let's not pretend that sexism, particularly unconscious sexism, doesn't exist. Oh, well, isn't that adorable? So they know that at this point it's too strong a comment and too preposterous to say, well, it's because she's a woman and there's overt sexism. So what do? They dodge by saying, no, I didn't say overt sexism. There's a lot of particularly unconscious sexism. So in other words, you people who don't like Hillary, you're sexist and you don't even know it. You're just sexist. This may be one of the worst articles I've ever read in my life. Those are the three reasons right there. You know, she's not magical. She's not in the media enough, so she's defined by caricature by her opponents. And she's a woman. This is why people don't like Hillary Clinton. Now, again, so, you know, are there people who really do just have an irrational hatred of Hillary? And honestly, I'd go further and say almost all Democrats this crowd hates. They have this irrational hatred of Democrats. Yes, that exists, and I'm more than happy to discuss it, and I discuss it all the time. You know, there are people in the country. For example, here's a good clue that you're dealing with one of those people. Benghazi. If they keep bringing up Benghazi, when there were 9 different investigations that cleared Hillary Clinton of any wrongdoing. And many of those investigations were Republican-led investigations. So they weren't going in it, you know, to hold hands and sing kumbaya. they were going in it because they wanted to take her down, and they couldn't find anything to take her down because she was Secretary of State at the time, and all the conspiracy theories were just that, conspiracy theories. You know, she ordered to stand down to make it so that the people in Benghazi, who are our people, were going to die because she wanted them to fucking die. These are some things that idiots believe. So you want to say that they have an irrational hatred against her? I 100% agree, and I'll lead the charge in arguing against those morons with you. So you can bring that up. That's fine. But what you're dodging here, and you're doing it grossest possible way, are all the legitimate critics of Hillary Clinton who really are just concerned about big money. I mean, there's no denying that Hillary Clinton is the ultimate political insider. She just is. She just is. So, you know, the Clinton family, over the course of their careers, they've raised over $3 billion from special interests. $3 billion. That's when you include the Clinton Foundation, the various super PACs, the various campaigns, the various amounts of money that went directly into their pocket through speeches. So, I mean, think about that. When you take that much money from special interests, do you really think that they are not going to represent those special interests or take those phone calls or do favoritism or do pay to play with them when they're in positions of power? Of course they're going to do it. Why? Because they're human beings, and that's human nature, and that's a basic incentive structure problem. So they're not above the fray. It's not like, well, no, that doesn't affect us, bro. If you give me $1 million, I'll tell you to fuck right off, and I'll take your call the same way I'd take the call of a 78-year-old grandma in Cleveland. Except you won't, and we're not stupid. We know how it works. We know that you have flipped your positions based on money. The bankruptcy bill is just one example. Elizabeth Warren was the one who spoke about this. And she said, well, when she was not an elected official, when Hillary was first lady, she was on the side of being against the corporations because this bankruptcy bill biased the bankruptcy laws in favor of corporations. So she was like, no, I'm against that. Okay, great, awesome. Then when she ran to be senator from New York and she won, she flipped on it. Why? Because she took money from the corporations. So now she's like, well, what am I going to do? I took their money. I guess I got to do their bidding. So she flipped on that bill. Same thing with single-payer health care. People say, oh, there's no quid pro quo. Before she fucking took all the money from the health industry, she was for single-payer health care. After she took it all, now all of a sudden it's, well, you know, Obamacare, tweaks around the edges, keep the private insurance companies in control, let Big Pharma keep ripping us off. But yeah, I want some reform, just that, you know, single-payer might go a little too far, you know what I'm saying? Now, recently she's been pushed further left because Bernie forced her left because he's saying single-payer, single-payer, single-payer. So she's like, okay, my arm's twisted, maybe public option, we'll do a public option, maybe. So her rhetoric has gone further left on that, but she's still not at single-payer, and you could clearly see that she flipped her vote. So this happens all the time, man, and you have Bernie supporters, people on the left, who've been saying this from day one, and they're right to say this. But you have Democratic loyalist hacks who want to portray all dissent of the dear leader Hillary as some sort of irrational hatred. It's not irrational hatred when you say, we're against the Iraq War, she voted for the Iraq War. You know, minimum 100,000 civilians died in that war. She voted for the Patriot Act. That ripped up the Constitution. You could forget the Fourth Amendment and protection from unreasonable search and seizure. So habeas corpus gone, due process gone also. She voted for that. So we don't like the fact she voted for Iraq. We don't like the fact she voted for the Patriot Act. We don't like the fact that she's leading the charge to try to get us more involved in Syria. We don't like the fact that she did that with Libya. We don't like the decisions that she made. We covered a story on the show. She approved a child soldier exemption for South Sudan. Isn't that crazy? So we don't. Obviously, something affected her there, whether it was donations from the defense contractors or donations to the Clinton Foundation from somebody involved with South Sudan politics. But whatever the fuck it is, she approved a child soldier exemption for South Sudan, so they're allowed to have it because they're our buddy. So when actual liberals and progressives point this out, for you to say, well, no, all the criticism of Hillary is because people are mad she's not magical. People are mad that that she's not in the press enough and they can caricature her and people just hate her because she's a woman because everybody's so sexist who disagrees with her. You've just made a monumental ass of yourself. So stop with the hacky tactics here. And by the way, you know what you're also doing? Undermining real instances of sexism because you're doing Boy Who Cried Wolf. Oh my God, you're so sexist, you're so sexist, you're so sexist because you don't like Hillary Clinton And then what's going to happen? When you talk about sexism in a real case of sexism, people are going to go, here we go again with the fucking faux cries of sexism. So the people who over-defend, nobody gets me more mad than the people who over-defend Hillary. Because they think that because she's running against a fascist buffoon monster who doesn't know anything, that therefore it necessitates we must argue Hillary is an angel in every conceivable way. That's not a winning argument, and that's a ridiculous argument. And the only chance you have of winning people over is to be honest about the reality of the situation. Pulling Eminem from 8 Mile. Here's all the things that are wrong with Hillary, but by the way, you really don't think that she's better than this other guy? Who, you're really going to trust that motherfucker with the nuclear launch codes when he gets in Twitter fights at 3 o'clock in the morning with Demi Lovato, as the Bill Maher joke goes? I mean, there's an argument to be made there that they're both as bad as it gets, but come on, don't be an idiot, one is worse. People are, not everybody's going to accept that argument, but people are going to be more receptive to that argument because it's certainly closer to true than saying, oh, no, everybody who disagrees with Hillary is just sexist and they, you know, they are mad because she doesn't do magic. Okay. Okay, now let's go to Donald Trump and go after this clown. Dwayne Wade's cousin was tragically killed in Chicago, and Donald Trump thought it would be a brilliant political move to try and use this to his advantage. So he took to Twitter, because of course, and he said the following: Dwayne Wade's cousin was just shot and killed walking her baby in Chicago. Just what I've been saying. African Americans will vote Trump. All caps. Because, you know, he's like me. He's like a YouTube star. He's like any teenage male and or female on the planet. Like, capital letters because I'm really serious. Yeah, now you know I'm serious. Yeah. Dude, you're running for president. You're running for president. You got to reel it in, son. You got to reel it in. Okay, Donald, what does that mean? What are you saying? I can't believe you just said... Whatever. This guy, there's no hope. What are you doing? Try to follow the logic here. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Dwayne Wade's cousin was just shot and killed walking her baby in Chicago. Okay, horrific. Are you going to follow that up immediately with my condolences? That's a terrible situation. Nope. Just what I have been saying. What do you mean? What does that mean? What have you been saying? What does that mean? You've been saying that Dwayne Wade's cousin is going to get shot walking her baby in Chicago? Is that what you've been saying? You haven't been saying that. What does that mean? Just what I've been saying. I mean, I guess the fairest interpretation of that is, oh, I've been saying that there's high crime in Chicago and elsewhere. Okay, maybe, but still a weird thing to just do. Like, I told you so. People getting murdered. Murder. Dwayne Wade's cousin, by the way. Dwayne, your cousin got killed. Like, it's a weird, disconnected thing where you're just incapable of understanding how people are perceiving you when you go on this rant. And then he goes, African Americans will vote Trump. Okay, there you fucking jumped the shark. That's nuts. What are you saying? Only 1%. A recent poll has black support for Donald Trump in the country at 1%. So what does that mean? Okay, like, Dwayne Wade's cousin was shot and killed, walking your baby, just what I've been saying. And black people are going to vote Trump. They're going to vote Trump. No, 1% are. And what's the connection you're trying to make? Like, again, the fairest I could be to him here is, I've been saying crime is so bad, so I will be tough on crime, so that is why black people will vote for Trump, because they don't want to see this kind of crime, and because I'm going to be tough on it, so I'll be better on it, so that's why they're going to vote Trump. Well, look, you're doing the textbook definition of exploiting a tragedy to try to get votes. Let's be clear about that. But the second thing is, dude, that's not... Like, you're not. You're not going to do that, and we've already debunked that thoroughly. So, Bill O'Reilly, of all people, was the one who exposed your ass on this. How sad is that? I mean, he's the person who throws softballs down the center of the plate for you day in and day out. So what did he say? He's like, okay, Don, I need you to give me one policy. Just one policy. what are you going to do to stop the crime? You keep saying, I'm the law and order candidate. I'm going to stop the crime. Well, what are you going to do? He's like, you know, Bill, let me tell you, there's a guy in the police department in Chicago who was telling me that I could fix this in a week. If you just give me the opportunity to fix this in a week, I'll fix this in a week. So we got to let them do their job. Just like with our generals, we got to let our generals do their job and we'll get this fixed. Bill O'Reilly's like, okay, that's nice. But then what will he do? Like, so what exactly, what are the specifics? What's the policy substance behind this that will make the crime rates drop? Because obviously, whether or not you give him the authority or you say, it's my authority and here's my plan, there's going to be a plan to lower it, because you don't just, you know, what are you going to do? Just say, oh, stop crime, and then boom, you stop it. That reminds me of Bush. He's like, if I had a magic wand and I could say, drop gas prices, I'd drop the gas prices, but I don't have a magic wand. That's something he actually said. Well, that's like what Trump said. Bill, I do have a magic wand. I'm going to say drop crime, and then the crime is going to drop. And then the more Bill O'Reilly pressed him, what was Trump's answer? We're going to get tough. We're going to get tough. We're going to be tougher. We're going to get tough. We're going to get tough. And even Bill O'Reilly's like, dipshit, what does that mean? What does it mean, get tough? Give me specifics. Give me policies. He's like, tougher, tougher. Going to be tough. Going to get tougher. Excuse me. Going to get tough. Believe me. Make America great again. Believe me, Bill. I will tell you that. We are going to get tough. Make America great again. That's not a thing, Donald. You're just fucking word salad. So he doesn't have a plan. And then when you really get into the nitty-gritty and you take the most literal interpretation of get tough and what that means, again, just filling in the blanks here in Trump's own mind as to how he's going to stop crime. Okay, well, that policy was implemented in Baltimore in the sense that you basically had the police acting like an invading military force that occupied a region. So, you know, the Baltimore report from the DOJ made very clear they basically didn't abide by the Fourth Amendment in any way. They didn't abide by it at all. There was endless, you know, searches that were unreasonable, that didn't protect privacy rights. Well, that's one thing Trump's probably like, rock on. That's exactly what I'm talking about, the lower crime. There was an instance of over 125 different charges of abuse against an officer, and they did dick to try to stop it or discipline him. I mean, that's insane. You have this fucking rogue cop who's going out there harassing everybody left and right. You know, accusations of the N-word being dropped all the fucking time. One police officer said to one kid, right after the Zimmerman verdict, how about you come walking around my neighborhood in a hoodie and see how it works out for you? This is the fucking people who are supposed to protect and serve. And the list goes on and on of all the abuses. Chicago is actually, I think it was in Chicago where they have the black sites, where there was torture going on. The cops were torturing people. And Trump's response to this is, well, get tough. Well, they're doing your get tough idea, and crime has gone up. It hasn't gone down. It's gone up. So you're wrong. So, like, what does that mean? Dwayne Wade's cousin gets shot, and you're like, you're going to vote Trump, right? Black people will vote Trump, and I'll get tough. What the fuck are you saying? Police departments have been tough. They've been occupying. They've had this tribal us versus them mentality. That's another thing in the report where they said police officers in Baltimore literally embrace that mentality, like you got to be the toughest motherfucker out there. Everybody on the police force acting like Alonzo from Training Day, and things got worse. So you think you're going to make it better, Trump, by, oh, I'm so tough, let me exploit this tragedy. You're not going to make it better. You're going to make it worse, and you just exploited a tragedy. So tone deaf. So later on, what ended up happening? His team deleted that tweet, and then they're like, oh shit, we deleted that. We got to now repost it with the proper spelling, by the way, of Dwayne Wade's name, because he spelled it wrong, of course. So they post it back up with the proper spelling, and then they follow it immediately with, my condolences to the family of Dwayne Wade for what they are going through at the moment, or something to that effect. And come to find out, when you look at where the tweet was sent from, originally it was sent from Trump's phone, then it was deleted, and the other tweets were sent from a totally different device that Trump has never tweeted from. I think it was an iPad. So who did that tweet? No question about it, Kellyanne Conway, his campaign manager. So she sees him acting like a buffoon, and she's like, okay, I got to fix this. Delete that, repost it, because obviously you don't. If you just take it down, then you're admitting guilt. Like, okay, shouldn't have said that. So instead they want to have some deniability here. So they repost it like, we never deleted it. I don't know what you're talking about. And then they immediately follow it up with, oh, my condolences to Dwayne Wade and his family. And then when asked about it on the Sunday shows, Kellyanne Conway's, what was her response? This is his way of communicating. And by the way, just so everybody understand, he followed it up immediately with condolences. So she can't, like, defend him on the original merits of what he actually said. So just kind of rewrite history a little bit and put your own thing after and say, oh, but see, at least offered condolences. Dude, he is... I'm now starting to believe that his strategy the entire time when it looked good, because there were times where it was just good. He was defeating all the Republicans handily. It was all an accident. Every argument he ever made that resonated was him stumbling into that argument. We already know that's the case with money in politics. We covered the story as to how he came up with that. He was talking to Mitt Romney's top campaign donor bundler, and he's trying to get him to work for him, but this guy thought Trump was a buffoon. Gee, I wonder why. And so this guy, to get out of the meeting, what did he say? He's like, oh, I would love to raise money for you, Donald, but maybe you should not raise any money, and you should say you are a populist, and you don't believe in taking big money. Is he buying this? Could I get the fuck out of here? So, and then he ended up getting out of there, and Trump was like, I love that idea! And so he ran on that idea when it was just a dude who floated the idea to get out of a fucking meeting. But I guess these people didn't understand the hatred for the establishment that exists today, so that's a strategy that actually worked, and it worked overwhelmingly. He crushed in the primary season. But he stumbled onto that strategy. He wanted to raise money from all these big money donors, and he wanted to be a big player and an establishment insider, but they don't like him. This is who he yearns for, you know, approval from. So everything was just a fucking mistake. Now I think every argument he made that resonated, the Social Security, I'm not going to cut Social Security, that stuff. Again, accident, I think is a sheer accident. Everything he said that worked is an accident, and now the things just aren't working anymore. You know, he has verbal diarrhea on a daily basis. He fucking tweeted this thing. Dwayne Wade's cousin died. Vote Trump. Oh, God. And he just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. Okay. I got to take a break. When we come back, the war in Syria just got even more complicated. And the big scandal from over the weekend, 49ers quarterback decided to do a protest and sit out the national anthem. And chaos ensues. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. Thank you.
rumble like you're building a mosh pit. I'm rusted, and that's the only way that we rock shit. Banging heads and
resistance. Son of a bitch! Alright, we're back, guys.
I'll be better off just the one, two. The word can destroy your whole crew, and that's toxic.
Alright, shut it up. Alright, Syria time. The war in Syria just got even more complicated. Vice News breaks it down here. Turkish warplanes attacked a group allied with the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces after Turkey earlier this week launched an offensive into northern Syria against ISIS. Turkish tanks and special forces rolled into Jarablus earlier this week, backed by U.S. air power and Turkish-backed Syrian rebels, to expel ISIS. Now, here's the big problem. They're not leaving, and they're staying, and they're fighting the Kurds now. Uh-oh. So, that's really, really weird, and it's not unexpected, though it is weird. So, recently, you had Turkey sit down at the table. Erdogan sat down at the table with Russia. Russia is obviously in favor of Assad and the Syrian government and that side of this conflict. Turkey was on the other side of the conflict. They were sending arms and ammunition and support to jihadists and Islamists in Syria. Well, now, for whatever reason, they came to an agreement where Turkey was going to go in, and Turkey went in under the guise of, we promise you we're going to fight ISIS and we're going to fight jihadists. And to an extent, they kept that promise. They immediately found a way to free Jarablus. I mean, the Turkish army is gigantic, and ISIS is way, way smaller. You know, Turkey and their military could probably crush the Syrian rebellion in an instant if they wanted to. But what did they end up doing? Well, they ended up taking out ISIS. And then they were also like, hey, well, we're here, bitch. Why not go after the Kurds, too? Because what do they fear? They fear the creation of Kurdistan eventually, some sort of deal that would give the Kurdish people a state. And they don't want that. So there's a minority Kurdish population in Turkey, and they've been brutally and viciously oppressed for a very long time now. And they fear that with the U.S. on the side of Kurds in Syria, that eventually the U.S. will say, and they'll sit down at a table with other world leaders, and they'll try to iron out a deal where the Kurds have been so good all along being on the right side of all these different issues and being honestly an ally to the West in many respects, that they'll say, okay, I know that technically we're supposed to be against you because Turkey's our bigger ally and Turkey is against you, but let's work out a deal here where you get some sort of reward for doing what you did in terms of defeating ISIS and defeating various jihadists in the region. And Turkey's like, I don't want that at all. So instead of going in there and just focusing on ISIS, they're also taking out the Kurds. So when you look at what's happening in Syria, it honestly may be the clusterfuck of all clusterfucks of wars. Because it just doesn't end, man. It just doesn't end. So, in Syria, we have the U.S. is simultaneously on both sides of the war. How does that even happen? Well, Pentagon-funded rebels fought CIA-funded rebels not that long ago. I mean, again, you want to talk about the defense contractor's wet dream. They're like, oh, that's awesome. We're arming both sides of the same conflict. That is tremendous. And then there's also been going back and forth. Remember when Obama gave a speech maybe about 2 years ago now where he came out there and said, okay, no, guys, come on now. Come on now. We're going to have to stop Assad. Assad's killing his own people. What a vicious, brutal dictator. And then after like a year when they didn't do anything to stop Assad, they slowly but surely were like, okay, kind of going to switch sides here in the fight and be on Assad's side because now the rebels are basically ISIS and Al-Qaeda. So it's just we're all over the place. General Petraeus floated the idea of arming Al-Qaeda to fight ISIS and to fight Assad. Okay, I've never seen a better advertisement for get the fuck out and mind your fucking business. Now, don't get me wrong. I have zero problem with trying to be involved in a negotiated deal. So that should happen. Everybody should sit down at the table. Putin should sit down at the table with Assad, who should sit down at the table with Hassan Rouhani, who should sit down at the table with Erdogan and us there and everything. And we should all try to iron out a peace deal. That should happen. And there should be nonstop humanitarian aid, and there should be pockets of UN protection for instances of, you know, where there's genocide. And there is genocide going on, probably on both sides in certain regions. So all that stuff is true, but should the U.S. get involved and double down and fucking be arming people continuously? No. The answer to that is no. And it should be clear, but we never learn our lesson. And now we all just quietly let Turkey into the conflict and complicated it further. Okay, next. All right, now we go to Colin Kaepernick. Oh, man, the the anger that this brought out, man. The anger that this brought out in the country. The quarterback of the 49ers, Colin Kaepernick, decided to do a protest by refusing to stand for the national anthem. And the backlash was swift, and it was harsh. So first, let's listen to why he did it in his own words.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
Is this something that's evolved, kind of lost in your mind? And how has this kind of progressed that you make a stand like this?
It's something that I've seen, I've felt, wasn't quite sure how to deal with originally. And it is something that's evolved. It's something as I've gained more knowledge about, you know, what's going on in this country in the past, what's going on currently. These aren't new situations. This isn't new ground. It's things that have gone on in this country for years and years and have never been addressed, and they need to be. Yes, I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll say it. There's a lot of things that need to change. One specifically is police brutality. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. That's not right by anyone's standards.
Colin, so many people see the flag as kind of a symbol of military. How do you view it, and what do you say to those people?
You know, I have great respect for men and women that have fought for this country. I have family, I have friends that have gone and fought for this country. And they fight for freedom. They fight for the people. They fight for liberty and justice for everyone. And that's not happening. I mean, people are dying in vain because this country isn't holding their end of the bargain up as far as, you know, giving freedom and justice and liberty to everybody. It's something that's not happening. And I've seen videos. I've seen circumstances where men and women that have been in the military have come back and been treated unjustly by the country they fought for and have been murdered by the country they fought for on our land. That's not right. I don't understand how it's the wrong way. To me, this is a freedom that we're allowed in this country. And going back to the military thing, it's a freedom that men and women that have fought for this country have given me this opportunity by the contributions they have made. So I don't see it as going about it the wrong way. This is something that has to be said. It has to be brought to the forefront of everyone's attention. And when that's done, I think people can realize what the situation is and then really affect change.
You think that this seems sort of an indictment against police?
There is police brutality.
Yeah.
people of color have been targeted by police.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a large part of it, and they're government officials. They're put in place by the government. So, you know, that's something that this country has to change.
Mm-hmm.
There's things we can do to, you know, hold them more accountable, make those standards higher. You have people that practice law and are lawyers and go to school for 8 years, but you can become a cop in 6 months and don't have to have the same amount of training as a cosmetologist. That's insane. I mean, someone that's holding a curling iron has more education and more training than people that have a gun and are going out on the street to protect them.
The right wing collectively lost their shit over this. There are people, obviously loathsome racists, who decided they were going to call him the N-word on Twitter. That's pretty sad. There are people who burned his jersey because they got all emotional over it. And just this general sense of rage overtook people on the far right. And what I find fascinating about this is the anti-PC crowd are suddenly expressing PC outrage. The anti-social justice warrior group, suddenly they're acting quite social justice warrior-y. So I've maintained from the beginning, this is not something that, I don't know if anybody else talks about it, but there is such a thing as a right-wing social justice warrior and somebody who's the right-wing PC police. So I'll just give you another example here as a side point, but we often talk about Donald Trump. I find it hilarious when people act like, oh, he's going to come in there and he's going to slay all the fake outrage because he really cares about the Constitution and free expression. Except he sued Bill Maher over a joke that hurt his feelings. He sued The Onion over a satire article about him. And he said we need to, quote, open up the libel laws to be able to sue the media when they write articles that are against us. The idea that he's against the PC police and he's against the social justice warriors is absurd. He is a social justice warrior. He banned over a dozen media outlets from even covering his campaign because they didn't do fawning coverage over him. This is right-wing PC outrage. Same thing here with this shit. You don't even need to agree with the protest to say, yeah, you should be allowed to express it, and we, you know, we should all not try to fucking,
but there must be punishment for this. We have to go after him. We have to ban him from sitting during the national anthem. He needs to get the fuck up.
What happened? I thought you guys were, you know, you guys are usually the crowd that goes directly to, get the fuck over it. Oh, are your feelings hurt, Mr. Person on a college campus? Do you need a safe space? Is that what you need? Do you need a trigger warning? Have I microaggressed you? Well, now I'm going to say all that to these idiots. Do you need a safe space from somebody not standing for the national anthem or the Pledge of Allegiance? Is that what you need? What about, do you feel like there's been a microaggression against you? Is that the problem here? Are you going to be okay? Do you need a trigger warning before somebody decides not to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Is that what you need? So the roles here flip. Well, I want to be clear and I want to be on the record. My position has not flipped in either instance. When there are left-wing college campus people who try to censor people and get all outraged over nothing because they're emotional little babies, I say, get the fuck over it. And I'm going to say that now to the right-wingers. Get the fuck over it. Stop being little PC right-wing bitches. That's what you are. And understand, like, people forget history so quickly. Do you have any idea the amount of hate that was against Muhammad Ali when Muhammad Ali said, you know what? Fuck your Vietnam War. I'm not going to Vietnam. What the fuck am I going to go over there and kill Viet Cong? They never fucking called me nigger. They never fucking told me I can't sit at that diner. They never told me that I don't have equal rights in this country. You know who told me that? White racists in the South. That's who fucking told me that. Now you want me to go and fight for freedom when we don't even have fucking freedom here? Is that what you want me to do? Is that what you want me to do? Well, fuck that. And then, oh, of course, all the PC right-wing bitches in the country. He doesn't love the country because he says he doesn't want to fight in Vietnam and he's not going to go and he's going to be a conscientious objector and we need to make him go. Make him go and fight, even though he doesn't want to. Make him go and fight. Again, what happened? I thought you guys were against people who get all emotional and outraged over shit. So he stood up and he said, fuck that, I'm not going to Vietnam. And this is on a much smaller level. All he's saying is I'm not going to stand for the pledge because there's a lot of fucked up shit going on right now and we need to address it. There are people who we think are oppressed and we need to address it. And until we address it, I'm not fucking standing. So, I mean, what a little step to take to try to say, let's fix something. People go, how dare you try to fix something? Stand and bow before your great country, sir. And there's a creepy angle of that as well. Look, I'm going to say something here that most people probably are not going to agree with, but I don't give a fuck. I'm done with the national anthem at all sporting events. Why? Why does that happen? Fucking athletes, professional athletes, you know what they're doing? Their job. And what if I went to Bob the accountant and said, hey, man, look, we're going to do the national anthem at the beginning of every single day, and I need you to stand the fuck up and worship your country in this creepy way. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for patriotism. I think I'm more patriotic than most people because I actually try to fight for what the idea of America is supposed to be. But when you start doing, like, just flip the context and make it any other country, and you'll see how creepy it is. Like, you know, if for whatever reason, if you're watching a soccer game in Iran and they're doing their national anthem beforehand, or you're in Saudi Arabia, or you're anywhere, and or former Soviet Union, current-day Russia, and everybody gets all, like, creepy with these stone-cold looks on their faces, and they're just standing there awash in unearned pride for their country before they watch people fucking kick a ball around a field, you go, oh, this is a little weird and tribal, isn't it? You know? So, look, don't get me wrong. I don't, like, if I'm sure that they're not going to implement my idea of not having it, and I'm not going to go nuts here, and you must do my way. But let's just acknowledge that, and I say the same thing in schools, too. A little creepy that at the beginning of the day, it's like, all right, everybody, let's stand, let's be uncritical, and do an unthinking pledge of allegiance to, obviously, National Anthem Pledge of Allegiance is different, but let's pledge allegiance to the country, because obviously if we don't pledge allegiance, the default assumption will be that you are indeed not loyal to the country, and maybe we'll put you in a political prisoner camp, okay? Obviously, they don't say all that, but there's a weird implication there of, like, are you with us? Did you say the fucking pledge? Are you with us? Did you say the national anthem? Well, you didn't say the national anthem. What the fuck's going on here? Do you not love America? Should we deport you? Should we get you the fuck out of here? What's going on? I think you're some kind of criminal if you don't, you know, do the national anthem. Why aren't you doing the national anthem? Oh, now you're saying you don't fucking agree with everything the country's ever done, and now you say you think there's still issues we need to address. How fucking unreasonable are you? No, that's actually the most reasonable thing I've ever fucking heard in my life. And the final point here is, many of the people, if not all of the people, to be honest, who are angry at Colin Kaepernick for doing this, the outrage that they're expressing over this, they didn't express one-tenth the outrage over, for example, Philando Castile. Remember him? The guy who was reaching for his license after the police officer told him to reach for his license. And he said, he's going for a gun! And then the cop shot him and killed him. They didn't express outrage over that. They're more outraged over somebody not standing for the national anthem than an innocent person being shot and killed when they're reaching for their fucking license. This is a guy who literally worked at a school and knew all the kids' names and gave them fist bumps in the morning. He was part of the community. People loved him. People loved him. Spotless record. Spotless record. They go, mum's the word on that. Maybe he had a comment. I'm not saying anything. I'm just going to shut the fuck up. No outrage expressed over that. No outrage expressed over Walter Scott. Remember Walter Scott? Literally running away from an officer. Running away. The officer takes out a gun, fucking shoots him, kills him, walks up and plants some shit on him. Where was the outrage over that? No, they saved up their outrage because somebody didn't stand up for the national anthem. That's what really gets their fucking panties in a bunch. But murdering people? No, I mean, if a cop does it, he's got a badge. I mean, he must have had it coming on some level, am I right? And Tamir Rice. I mean, Tamir Rice is another classic example. This is a fucking 12-year-old playing with a toy gun. The cop rolls up, shoots him in under a second. Now, later we found out, and we covered the stories on that, that cop had deep, deep psychological problems. Like, they were at a shooting range with other officers doing a test, and the guy broke down crying in the middle of shooting. They're like, what happened? He's like, my girlfriend broke up with me. Unstable dude, an unstable dude riding around with a badge and a gun. And then you have a 12-year-old boy shot and killed when using a toy gun. Do you have any idea how often I used toy guns when I was a kid? Running around outside? Yeah, running around outside. And back then, some of the toy guns we had didn't even have the orange tips on them. Eventually, there was a law where they said, put an orange tip on them so people know that it's not real. I ran around with guns that didn't have the orange tip on them, toy guns, when I was a kid. I never got shot. The cop never even fucking said shit to me. Never, no issue ever. This, because he's a black kid from a poor community. Well, then you roll up and shoot him in under a second, and no consequences. Where the fuck is the outrage over that from this crowd? Fucking crickets. Fucking crickets. But, oh, you didn't stand for the national anthem. Now I'm going to call you a nigger. Now I'm going to burn your jersey. Further proving your point that we need reform in the country. So, and he's being clear. He's saying, look, if we address this in a substantive way, I'm going to stand for the pledge again. Has a more reasonable thing ever been said? No. So, you know, for me, what I think are the answers, or some of the answers, I've said it a million times, but body cameras on the police. Now, it's not going to stop everything. Sometimes there are hideous acts done by the cops, and then, you know, you have it on tape, but for whatever reason, there isn't an indictment, there isn't a conviction. The case in Staten Island is one example of that. But understand that wearing the body cameras to begin with nips a lot of problems in the bud, because studies show cops are less likely to be unnecessarily aggressive when they have the cameras on them. Reports of abuse drop tremendously when they have the body cameras on them. So just the existence of it is a positive thing. So I'd say body cameras for all cops all around the country, that's a great step in the right direction. If you end the drug war, which disproportionately targets minority communities, that would be fantastic, because you're basically giving the cops license to occupy and license to, you know, disregard the Fourth Amendment when you say, I'm going to come after you for fucking substances. There's no difference there than going after people for fucking alcohol. You drink, so now I'm going to fucking lock you up because you drink. That's preposterous, right? Why is it not preposterous with marijuana and other drugs? So you end the drug war, you legalize, tax, and regulate drugs, and then also you redo the training, which is something he hinted at there, how there's not enough training for cops. And actually, the more important point is it's not – they are not trained in de-escalation tactics. So that's the point, is you have to make it so that they de-escalate and they don't always escalate to a conflict. Now, I get it. Being a cop is a hard job, and I have respect for that. And most cops are good people, for sure. But to do a protest to raise awareness about real issues facing the country and how we need to reform our laws to fix those issues, that's not un-American. That is pretty much the definition of being American. And you could argue his patriotism is much more than the patriotism of the idiots who are calling him nigger and burning his fucking jersey. So I actually agree completely with Colin Kaepernick here. And if you don't, you can get the fuck over it and stop being a little PC bitch. Okay. Let me just do a quick one here from CNN. We have a story here from CNN on police abuse of authority, and it's literally hard to believe. In fact, I didn't quite believe it until I saw the video. Let's watch.
Face that way now, or I'll spray you.
An 84-year-old woman pepper sprayed by a Muskogee police officer is what has many people around town talking. Police say this all started while they searched for the woman's son. Police say he ran a stop sign, then refused to stop, then darted into this home. Police say they asked the man to come out, but he refused, so they went in. You can hear police yell for the man to come towards them before they tase him.
Come here! I'm going to tase you! Do it now!
Then out comes his 84-year-old mother, Geneva Smith, who police command to turn around.
Stay there, man!
We counted, and about 40 seconds after the command, they pepper sprayed her, and then she goes down. We talked to her last week, and on Friday, we reviewed the video with the assistant city attorney and sat down with the chief of police, Rex Eskridge, who says the department is working to resolve the situation.
This is a very important issue. There's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of prejudgment going on. There's a lot of concerned.
For that reason, he tells me they released the video to be transparent by building on the positive relationship he says police have with the community.
Do you believe the videos show everything?
Videos can't give you the full sense of what happened, but at the same time, they do either validate or expose any warts that you might have.
That's hilarious. Videos don't give you the full context. Kind of sure, as long as you're watching it in its totality, that's exactly what they do. It's a video? Like, what are you saying? Okay, so first let me get the obvious out of the way. Don't run from the cops. Don't hide behind your grandma. Stop, 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 stop. Those were horrible decisions. You know they're horrible decisions, and that needs to be brought up. Now let's get to the other stuff that's also, I hope, obvious to everybody. Don't tase, or actually, I'm sorry, it wasn't tased. They tased him. Don't pepper spray an 84-year-old woman. And you know what? You have to think about this in the context of, imagine it was your grandma. I mean, 84 years old. A lot of people don't even make it to 84 years old. This woman's 84 years old. What kind of a fucking threat is she to you? No, seriously. Seriously. What kind of a fucking threat is she? She's 84. The idea that, like, no, it was totally necessary. Even if she's not being cooperative, I would say you don't fucking pepper spray an 84-year-old woman. Because, again, you don't know what's going on. At 84 years old, at a certain point in somebody's life, like, the statistics of you can be suffering from dementia shoot up tremendously. So you don't know. You see that this woman's old. You don't know what's going on. Look, I know, not to get too personal here, but with both of my grandmas, they've passed away. But, you know, on my father's side, one of them got to the point where she would just constantly repeat herself. Where she'd tell you a story, 2 minutes later she'd tell you another story, and she had no clue she told you the story. And it's like, oh, well, that just kind of happens when you get older. You know, the other one, my grandmother on my mother's side, she had legit full-on dementia in her older years. And that, again, like, I'm saying this as if, like, ooh, I'm revealing something super personal and crazy here, but it happens to so many people. In fact, I don't know the numbers, but at a certain point, it might be the majority of people who hit a certain age and they get above it, they start to lose their cognitive functions. It goes on the decline. You have an 84-year-old woman here. You don't know what's going on, and also you don't know what medicine she's on. You don't know if she has a weak heart. You don't know if pepper spraying her can cause some sort of permanent damage or trigger a heart attack or some other medical issue. You have no idea. You fucking pepper sprayed an 84-year-old woman. Really? There's no other way to handle the situation with an 84-year-old woman. No other way. And they said 40 seconds is what it took them before they were like, okay, they tried for 40 seconds. They're like, what are we going to do? We got to pepper spray the fucking senior citizen. Look, it should be obvious to you that if this situation was, you know, happening in an affluent neighborhood in Orange County or happening in an affluent neighborhood in Westchester County, it wouldn't unfold like this. You know it wouldn't unfold like this. There's no way it would unfold like this. And this is not solely to put it on race, because I don't think it's just about race. I think that's certainly a factor. But, yeah, you could imagine in some downtrodden, you know, poor white community in West Virginia or some shit, they might treat the citizens the same way. But either way, it's unacceptable. Like, we can't draw lines here. I mean, I actually kind of get embarrassed of how other modern countries look at us in situations like this. Like, people in the UK, you're like, whoa, dude, you guys are fucking nuts. In Australia, they're like, what? Like, we have no words. What are you doing? This is how your police treat people? So, it's just, you would hope that people use common sense at a certain point and go, you know what, I'm going to draw the line somewhere. I'm going to draw the line at an 84-year-old grandma where I don't use physical force to stop her. And I do think that if you're somebody who's willing to rationalize this, it's like, what are you not willing to rationalize simply based on the fact that the person doing the active aggression here is wearing a badge and has a gun? Like, are you really that authoritarian in your nature that it's like, okay, if you have a badge and a gun, you are by definition correct because you have a badge and a gun. Therefore, everybody must submit, everybody must follow every letter of every word and respect your authority, and everybody must bow down before you. And if they don't do it in a timely fashion, if they don't do it immediately, if they don't show you the proper respect, if you feel like they're slightly getting in your way, even if it's an 84-year-old woman, fuck them, pepper spray them. Not okay. It's just not okay. We gotta be more reasonable. We gotta use common sense. And, I mean, look, again, this goes back to the old tired point that we keep bringing up, which is you have to change the police training. They have to be trained in de-escalation tactics. But what they do now is they escalate at every possible turn. And that's not to totally absolve the person who ran from them from the beginning. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But it should still, the onus should still be on the people that we pay and that are in the government to find a way to de-escalate by any means necessary. And you certainly could have de-escalated from pepper spraying an 84-year-old grandma, don't you think? Okay. Take a quick break. When we come back, we have a crazy story coming out of Australia. And Anthony Weiner done did it again. Oh, boy. You don't want to miss that story. Stay right there. Instead of bitches there. You like that? Alright. Okay. I got a story here that blows my mind in 9 ways. So, here we go. The Independent has a story here coming out of Australia about a new and unique kind of attack against gays. They say a 62-year-old man has been arrested after allegedly switching lubricant with acid at a Sydney gay club. Police said the unnamed man went into the Arrows Club on Saturday and filled a lubricant dispenser with hydrochloric acid. No one was hurt following the incident, as the dispensers had been fitted with alarms after previous attempts to tamper with them. They say that hydrochloric acid, if it gets on your skin, it is not good, it'll bubble and blister, and you can get serious, serious, serious burns just by having it touch your skin. So there's so many things in this story that I need to talk about here. Well, we can start with the obvious. Don't do that. I mean, I can guarantee you right now, without even having the identity of the person who did this, that it's a religious fundamentalist of one stripe or another. It's either a Muslim fundamentalist or it's a Christian fundamentalist. But it's obviously a far right-wing asshole who hates gay people, and they probably think gay people are ungodly and they're breaking God's law and natural order, so they do something like this. You know, I would think that maybe something else that would perhaps ruin the natural order of things worse is, I don't know, maybe trying to burn off dudes' penises because you don't agree with their sexuality. That would seem to me to be a bigger ill than being gay. Like, yeah, what do I do? Well, on the weekends, I like to attack people with acid. It's cool. But being gay, no, that's immoral. Acid attacks, not immoral. Being gay, immoral. So, obviously, that's crazy, and that's stupid, and that's wrong, and I would guarantee you that this is based in religious fundamentalism here. But the other aspect of the story that I thought was interesting, which only occurred to me halfway through reading the story, is, really? That's a thing at gay clubs? Like, you just have a fucking lube dispenser chilling in the corner? Like, it gets down like that in gay clubs? Like, I know gay clubs have, you know, a history and a record attached to them of, like, yeah, shit goes down, son. But, like, a lube dispenser in the corner? So how does that work? You just walk over there and you grab some lube and you're like, all right, free handies for anybody. Dave, Steve, Sean, come on, big boy. We're in public in front of people here, but let's get at it. It was everybody circle jerking everywhere. What is that? That's, like, I'm still amazed. Is there, like, a decorum to it? Like, do you have to get the lube, and then, I mean, come on, you got to go in the bathroom and go in a stall. Like, how does that work? As a straight male, I'm very curious as to the dynamics of a gay club. And could you imagine for a second there was the equivalent of that at a straight club? That would be awesome. All right, that is kind of horn doggish and perverted, but there is also something that's, I don't know, admirable in the openness of sexuality as just like a thing. It's like, yeah, what do you mean? Like, you know, oftentimes at places they'll have whatever, like baby wipes on the walls in some restrooms. Like, oh, well, it happens. You got to fucking clean your baby up from time to time. This is just like another angle to that of like, well, you know, you're human. Sometimes you get horny. Here's a lube dispenser. You want to fuck? Go into the designated fuck area. Thank you very much. Who the fuck knew this? I certainly had no idea, but the funny thing is I can imagine, like, there's no doubt that conservatives in the U.S. would also lose their shit over this. I don't know if they do acid attacks. I mean, maybe some would, but they would lose it over this. Because even I, as a liberal, read that and go, damn, really, son? You guys got the lube on the walls and shit? Deep, you're going deep. Ooh. Perhaps the wrong wording in the context of this story, but I think everybody gets my point. Yeah, don't acid attack gay people. Don't acid attack women for not covering up. Don't acid attack anybody. I'm anti-acid attack. I just want to state that for the record. Okay, now we go from a story about wieners to a story about wiener. Huh? Huh? I'm actually kind of serious here. It's Anthony Wiener. All right, here we go. Anthony Weiner has done it again. He got caught sexting with somebody. Now, obviously, a few years back, there was a big scandal about this. But this one is worse. All right, look, I maintained from the beginning, I really, really don't give a shit about your personal life. The only time you see me get angry at politicians for shit like this is if it's the Republicans who like to scream and yelp and bitch and moan about family values, and they love to say that they're holier than thou, and then they get caught blowing a dude in a New Jersey Turnpike bathroom. And it happens with pastors, it happens with Republican politicians. But honestly, even if it's a Republican politician and that Republican politician does not run on family values, whatever, dude, Democratic politician, whatever. You didn't pretend you're holier than thou. You're a flawed human, and you strayed in your private life. That has nothing to do with us. Okay, but this story with Anthony Weiner, again, like I said, I think it's a little worse than the last one. So first, let me just give you the appetizer here. He's, you know, DMing somebody or texting somebody back and forth, and he's talking about his jack-off habits. That's cute. So he says, and I mean, literally, so now you know how I get to sleep at night, or how I got to sleep last night, with a little demon emoji. She responds by sending picture of lotion and tissues, and then he does a, you know, I don't even need to describe that for everybody who is watching this, everybody listening on the live show. It's, you know, the dick ejaculating via text. He found a way to create that. And then she says, enough of that. He says, yeah, I taxed myself too much on that one. So anyway, what are you wearing? Okay, this guy, man, this guy, like, he's not a sex addict. He's, like, he is just a sexting addict. This is his thing, his M.O. Bill Maher did a new rules about this a while back. Like, if you're going to be involved in a sex scandal, at least have sex. Anthony Weiner never did. It's just sexting. It's always sexting. He didn't have sex with Sidney Leathers, the person who it was with last time, the sexting scandal. And the same thing with this. He didn't have, allegedly didn't have sex with this person either. That may actually be true. And apparently, reports are out today that this is like a Trump-loving, far-right-wing woman here who was involved in this sexting relationship. I don't know if she was playing him from the beginning or if he's an idiot and he trusted somebody who despises his politics so much. Obviously, she's going to want to expose you at some point if she disagrees with the core of your being and your politics. But I still haven't gotten to the worst part. And this is the part that I think people are rightly a little, like, not a little, a lot creeped out over. He sent a dick pic with his son in the bed. Dude, who does that? You may be the first person in history to have ever done that. Like, I've seen the things, I'm sure you've seen it too, the, you know, those funny articles where they have, like, a girl sexting a guy and, like, there's the baby in the background and she didn't realize the baby was there and it's like, oh, okay, that's your fucking low life, uh-huh. Okay, dude, you're Anthony Weiner. You were a congressman. And it's not like it was an accident. Your son is sleeping right next to you. He's clearly in the picture. You know he's in the picture. And you're showing your dick outline through your underwear. Dude, what are you doing? No, he has serious issues. This is a guy who's like, you know, maybe I'm reading too much between the lines, except I'm probably not. But anything that is deviant in his mind, like, by definition is awesome, and he gets off to it. Like, oh, I'm going to take a dick pic. Oh, my God, my kid's right next to me. Oh, oh, that's awesome. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. How is any normal person going to respond to that? They're going to go, whoa, that's weird. That's stop. Dude, what? No, no, no. Even if the girl is super into you, she's going to be like, did you just, that's your kid? Oh, no, goodness, no. I'm going to have to break this thing off here. That's what's going to happen. We're done. All right, so Anthony Weiner, keeping it creepy as always. But as a final point on this story, I have to say, and this goes not to just Anthony Weiner, but to, honestly, this is a message for all guys. She doesn't want to see your dick, dude. She doesn't want to see your dick. She doesn't want to see your dick. She doesn't want to see your dick. She just doesn't. Okay, you want to know why a woman ends up liking a guy? Obviously, it varies from situation to situation, but it could be in the purest forms. Oh, I love his personality. He's a good person. I like him. So, okay, personality. There's one reason. You know, another reason, the reasons that are worse, obviously, is, oh, okay, he's got money, he's got power. I like him for that reason. Okay, that exists. We all know that exists. Never in the history of humankind has a woman gone, oh, I love him because I cannot wait to see his gangly flesh tube. Please, let me see more of that gangly flesh tube. It's so great. It ain't the same, dude. On this front, men and women, generally speaking, are not, they're not equal in this sense. women are not sitting around all day like, dick pic, dick pic, dick pic. I need a dick pic. Somebody send me a goddamn dick pic. Where are the gangly flesh tubes? Show them to me immediately. And it's not like they've ever looked at one and gone, oh, I'm fainting from how great and how hot this flesh tube is. They don't want to see your dick, son. They don't want to see your dick. They don't want to see your dick. You know, they'll tolerate your dick if you're in a relationship with them and you end up, you know, doing what people do, having sex, all that fun stuff. Great. They'll tolerate your dick. They might even enjoy sex, but they're not going to look at your dick in a picture and go, oh, yes, it's a dick in a picture. So hot. Now, the flip side is also true. Ladies, men, in general, on average, always want to see you naked. Always. Even if I don't want to see you naked, I want to see you naked. That's just how it is. Like, for example, I'm an ass guy. I'm not a tit guy. But if you show me, you randomly send me a picture of your boobs, am I going to be like, oh, I didn't want to see that. No, I'll be like, fuck, that's awesome. I don't care about your tits, but now I'm happy I saw your tits. I like seeing your tits. It's not the same with dick pics. It's not like a woman gets a dick pic. She's like, you know, I wasn't necessarily in the mood and feeling it, but now, thankfully, I have this fucking creepy alien-like fucking anteater snout on my screen with this fucking hanging wrinkly-ass balls, and yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm so horny now. Doesn't happen. So, okay. And I say this because I was young and dumb at one point, and, you know, there's a period in your life where you're, like, hypersexual, at least with most people, probably. Yeah, everybody went through that. And you think, like, you just assume it's equal. Like, okay, I want to see them naked as much as they want to see me naked. No, that's not true. It's just not true. So I'm trying to save these dudes a lot of, you know, confusion out there. It's not equal. The sexual currency is not equal. The libidos, generally speaking, are not equal. Though, obviously, look, guys, I'm not talking about all. Obviously, there's a small fringe minority in that are like, yeah, dick pics. But it's a general thing I'm talking about here. On average, the male libido and the female libido are not equal. So just don't send your dick pic unless it's explicitly asked for and directly asked for. And even if it's directly asked for, you question the motives of why it's being directly asked for. Did you get into a fight with your girl? Is she trying to blackmail you? Like, what's happening here, really? Is just, she wants to see your dick? It's already a red flag. Like, really? You want to see a dick? Who wants to see a dick? Okay. That was way too real of a segment. The realest segment ever done in human history. All right. Let's get to another awesome segment on happiness. Dick pics to happiness. We cover everything on Secular Talk. We have a new study to report to you guys on the issue of happiness, and there are some really fascinating findings. So The Independent explains, a study published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry found that older people were much happier than millennials, and their age appears to be the deciding factor. The findings showed that despite physical ailments being more common in the elderly participants, their mental health was much better. Fewer of the older people involved expressed feelings of anxiety, depression, or stress compared to ones between age 20 and 30. The study's author says the following, there's constant peer pressure, you're looking at others and always feeling bad that you're not succeeding like some of them, and you feel like you have lots of choices, but you're not really making use of them. He suggested that by contrast, older people had fewer of these pressures and were perhaps more emotionally equipped to deal with them. So, look, it's an open question, and I don't know the answer as to whether or not the happiness level fluctuates that much, because as you get older, you are just biologically hardwired to get happier as you're older. That's possible that that's an answer, that it just is how it is and it's something that's in nature. But it's also possible and perhaps even likely that it may just be the mental approach to life at that later age versus the younger age. So, for example, last night I was kind of hate watching the VMAs and mocking it on Twitter. And, like, I'm watching it, I know I'm getting older because as I'm watching it, whereas maybe 7 years ago I watch it and I go, oh, like, this is cool. I'm watching cool people do cool things with cool music and, oh, yeah, rad, bro, whatever fucking terminology we used back then. But now I look at it and I'm like, oh, ooh, this is like a bunch of lost kids just playing this social hierarchy game trying to out-cool each other and, you know, be the in thing, and it's like posturing, social posturing, trying to get more social currency to be the cooler kid. And you can see it. You can see it unfolding in front of you. Like, oh, that person trying to outcool that person, and that person is trying to be, you know, get the spotlight. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's like you're watching a nature documentary. Like a bunch of fucking lions, you know, out in a field pacing back and forth, and or primates like, oh, I must show that I'm the dominant one, and they try to do shit. And that's kind of the sense I got. And at the end of the day, that kind of lifestyle and that kind of approach to living on this planet is like, it's fucking tiring and it's stressful and it leads to anxiety and depression because it's a rat race of life and there's no stopping to smell the roses, no genuinely trying to develop as a person. It's just this weird psychological, biological game that goes on and it's like, oh, I must outdo other people. Well, older people might get to a point where they're just like, fuck that bitch. It's why you see like old dudes wearing fucking trousers up to their fucking tits. They're walking around like, yeah, bitch, I wear my pants high. Blow me. I don't give a fuck. Because they're like, I don't care if you think I'm cool. What the fuck do I care? Who are you? Who are you? You're a lost little kid. Piss off. Get off my lawn, bitch. And there is a level of I don't give a fuckedness, to make up a word, that's admirable in older people. Now, maybe that, or I don't know, maybe it's also the idea of having a defined role and finding comfort in that defined role. Like as you get older, usually somebody, okay, you had a job and you had a job for decades now. You know what you do with that job. You probably have grown to like what you do with that job. And then you're set. Like you're set in your life. I have the place I live. I have my friends. I have my family. Here's my defined role. And I wake up and I go do my defined role. And then you're removing the existential angst that's based in not knowing what you're going to do with your life when you're younger. If you remove that angst, you lift that angst and give people the definite answers, well, there's probably a lot of comfort in that. So, look, I don't know. I don't know if it's more biological or if it's more situational and cultural, and it's nurture and not nature as to why, you know, people are happier when they're older, but the data's clear. They're certainly happier when they're older. So maybe, just maybe, the answer to happiness is act older, be older, develop their mindset and the way they view the world. I don't know if it's the increased level of fuck it or if it's the increased level of comfort in your defined role in life or whatever it is, but obviously older people have the answers, so you might want to listen to some of that wisdom from the dude yelling at you to get off his lawn because he probably has a lot to say that's enlightening. Next. So we have some really creepy video here coming out of France. This is refugees from the Calais camp that's called the jungle, by the way. And they started to attack trucks, try to hijack them, and get into the UK. Let's watch. Okay. This isn't the first time this has happened, apparently. I want to show you guys a picture from last month. Yeah. Yeah. That is a fucking terrifying picture. It almost looks like that of a horror movie. So that's literally a refugee with a chainsaw in his hand, and that's a fire that they lit to try to hijack cars going down this road on the way to the UK near the Calais jungle camp. And apparently the police have done dick to fix this. Okay, in the U.S., we have a problem of police militarization and police who are trained in escalation tactics, not de-escalation tactics, and that's the problem. The problem is we need body cameras, we need to end the drug war, we need to teach the cops to de-escalate. Okay, the problem in France is apparently the opposite. You got cops that are sitting around with their thumbs up their ass, they're called about a serious, dangerous situation with violent criminals, and they're like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Oh, don't. Please, come on. We're not bigots. We're not going to arrest refugees. You kidding me? They're refugees. You've got to be open-minded. You've got to be tolerant. Wait, hold on. Since when did being tolerant mean be tolerant of people committing violent crimes and don't have consequences for them. You can be the most tolerant person in the world and understand the basic common sense position of, oh, these people are committing crimes. You gotta stop them, dipshit! You're the police force! You better show up, and yeah, show up with guns! They got chainsaws, bitch! So, yeah, what are you doing? This isn't a question. What are you doing? So, look, here's my take on it more broadly speaking. Number one, yes, the cops need to get serious, and they need to do their goddamn job and stop anybody, refugee or not, from fucking hijacking cars with chainsaws or big branches. And that could kill people. Literally, they might actually murder the person, or they might just cause an accident and kill the person. Sometimes they just hop onto the back of the trucks. Sometimes they literally try to steal the truck, which, by the way, you really think that's going to be successful? Like, you steal the truck, you get to the border, they're like, where's your license? You're like, a license? What license? I don't know what you're talking about. And then you just drive through. What are you going to do? Like, that you're going to be successful based off that? So the cops need to get serious about this. But then also, look, man, so would I deport these guys? Fuck yeah, I'd deport these guys. I don't see a reasonable debate or question on this. And this is the liberal position in the U.S., too. You know, you have every kind of reform that the Democrats have proposed on immigration. They say, okay, so we're going to have a path to citizenship for all the people who are here and they're law-abiding citizens and they've been working for 5 years or 20 years. They're a staple of the community. They've been busting ass, raising a family. They're productive. Those people can become citizens. That's cool. That's great. I'm totally in favor of that. I grant them amnesty like this. But if you're somebody who's here illegally, and then you commit a crime, yeah, you bet your sweet ass I'm going to fucking deport you. Of course I'm going to deport you. Where's the debate? You're here and you committed a crime. Yeah, gone. Gone. So you're a refugee and you're looking to get out of this horrible situation? I get that. But you come here and you start fucking trying to hijack trucks or use chainsaws on tires or fucking kill people or rob shit. I can't have you here, dude. Because you know what? That's not fair to all the people who are here and they're peaceful and they're playing by the rules. So, and this has always been the liberal position in the U.S., you know? I'm not in the camp of open borders across the board and whoever comes in, whatever they do, we're going to find a way to rehabilitate you and invest resources in you. No. I'm fine with having refugees and immigrants, and I'm fine with giving them amnesty if they play by the rules. And when I say play by the rules, I mean don't commit a violent crime. There are other people on the right who would say playing by the rules means you don't come in the first place. No, a lot of these people are escaping situations where they don't have a fucking choice. They feel like I have to go or I'm going to die here, okay? So, no, if you get in here and you mean well and you're trying to do the right thing, well, then, yeah, I'll work with you for sure. But if you fucking get in and you start doing shit like this, it's not bigoted of me, it's not intolerant of me, it's not wrong of me to say you can get the fuck out. It's logical of me to say get the fuck out. Tolerant does not mean tolerant of you hijacking trucks and committing violent crimes. So, and also, by the way, a giant fuck you to all the refugees from Syria and elsewhere who are peaceful, because you're giving them a bad name, you punk fuckheads. Because now you got people who are going to say, see, it's all the refugees, that's the problem. It's not all the refugees, there are violent refugees, they're the problem. But no, now you're going to have people on the right who exploit this and say, they're all the problem. No, they're not all the problem, but yes, these guys are a problem, and they are the problem, and they can get the fuck out, and I have zero sympathy for them. Okay. I'm out of time, guys. I love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Mwah. Peace.